You will no longer stand between me and my destiny.
But I will.
And the masters of the universe. I am Adam, Prince of Eternia and defender of the secrets of Castle Grayskull. This is Cringer, my fearless friend. Fabulous secret powers were revealed to me the day I held aloft my magic sword and said,
by the power of Grayskull!
Became the mighty Battle Cat, and I became He-Man, the most powerful man in the universe. Only three others share this secret. Our friends, the Sorceress, Man-at-Arms, and Orko. Together, we defend Castle Grayskull from the evil forces of Skeletor.
Welcome to another episode of I Have the Power, a He-Man podcast. As always, I'm Adam, and with me is my co-host, Cringer. Actually, I mean Steven. How's it going?
I won't say what I was going to say, because kids might listen to the show who've been He-Man, so... I'll leave it where it is.
I couldn't resist after watching the episode today.
I'll say... I don't want to be Battle Cat again, He-Man. Whatever he said, something along those lines.
Yeah. Oh god.
I'll do Skeletor, Beastman. Some terrible voices.
Well, yeah. How's it going, Steve? You excited to take our second journey into Eternia?
I am indeed. Yes, I've been looking forward to this one. So.
And it just so happens that we actually have quite a bit of news to get to today regarding He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
And what's good as well is, I think with this being a monthly podcast, well, that might happen quite regular for us, which would be nice.
Yeah.
So, shall I dive into it then?
Let's go.
Right, by the power of Grayskull, here we go. So, Sony took the live-action He-Man movie off the slate. I think it had originally had a release date of, was it next year or the year after? I can't remember. It was slated anyway, wasn't it, for a date?
It was 2021, I believe.
2021. So we were all a bit up in arms, like, oh my God, what's happened now? Is this film ever going to happen? But then like a week later, or maybe a few days later, out of the blue, which, Adam, you predicted a long time ago. In fact, way before we did this podcast, you predicted this.
Yeah.
The Sony have...
My middle name is Nostradamus, by the way.
Adam Nostradamus Bassiano.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
And my name apparently is Cringer. So, So Sony have agreed to deal with Netflix. I assume it's like a distribution deal because they're still calling it Sony's He-Man. Mm. And the Master Universe film will be going into production this summer. So that is very positive news. And we wanted this to happen, didn't we, Adam? So I guess because this was your like thing that you predicted way earlier, I guess you can just like take us on a little journey and tell us what you think.
Yeah, I'll pat myself on the back. No. look, first of all, let's just say this hasn't been confirmed by Netflix or Sony. This is an exclusive report via Discussing Film. So I just want to throw that out there regarding the Netflix thing. But it's not like they're pulling it, you know, out of nowhere, because back in, I think, October, we had heard the Hollywood Reporter had reported that talks were ongoing between Sony and Netflix, right? And from my, you know, experience with Discussing Film, most of their scoops and information has been really reliable. Like, we're not talking about We Got This Covered or Grace Randolph here. We're talking about, you know, reliable people. So for right now, I'm going to take it at face value. And, you know, if on the assumption that it's in fact indeed the case, it's a brilliant move, because like I said in our first podcast, seems to me that Sony on their own, at least from what we're being presented, has no idea what the hell they have here, and they have no idea what to do. Whereas when you look at Netflix, I mean, they've got, like I said, the She-Ra animated series. We've got He-Man Revelations, or
that's what it's just Revelation, yeah.
Right, or Master of the Universe, or whatever it is. Then we have the other He-Man CGI series. There's clearly, you know, a love for the property over at Netflix, and they clearly have a plan and a passion. And I think, you know, I saw some people on social media getting, oh, well, this deserves to be theatrical, and you know, we're getting up in arms of that. But look, just because it might not be theatrical doesn't mean Netflix can't go grand scale. I mean, look at what they did with I keep going back to it, Bright, which, you know, the mythology was there. There was CGI mm-hmm. involved. You know, look at what the next example is not a good movie, but, you know, Six Underground, the Michael Bay thing. Visually,
yeah.
It looked stunning. You know, there was money behind it. You know, story-wise, it was a turd, but that's neither here nor there. So I'm just all for this move. I'm for whoever understands the property and whoever has a passion for it. That's who I want bringing it to the screen. It should be noted that in the Discussing Film report, they said that the Nee brothers are still going to direct, which will come as no shock, because if you follow the Instagram account, Adam Nee recently posted that they were just about done the designs for Masters of the Universe. Mm. And then after it got pulled off the slate at Sony, a fan had asked him, you know, is this film dead or is it still happening? And he said, we're still very much going. So all that, you know, points to this news being the case. And in terms of where Steven got the filming this summer news, that comes directly from the star, Noah, what's his name? Noah
Centineo, is it?
Centineo.
Yeah, something like that.
Centineo, yeah.
We'll get it one day.
Yeah, and so he should know what's going on. So, you know, that's, assuming the interview was recent, which I think it was, I have no reason to doubt that that's accurate. Interestingly, to note, in that interview, he talks about how he had put 30 pounds of muscle on for the role, but then had to shed some of that muscle when the film got delayed the first time around. So now he's going to put it all back on, or he's in the process.
It was miffed.
of doing it. So he's definitely preparing physically for the role. So I'm excited. It looks, you know, I'm knocking on wood, it looks like we're getting at a place where we're going to start going here, and it's about time, because like I said, if handled correctly, this property is a gold mine.
Yeah, absolutely. And you talked about production values. Look how good The Witcher looked. That's
I forgot about that, yeah.
Yeah, which I keep bringing up because I see the similarities, you know, because they're both fantasy element and stuff like that. I think it's great news, and I think it's exactly what we wanted. And, you know, it might still get a theatrical release. It might just not be a massive one, because The Irishman did, didn't it? Got a theatrical release as well as a release on Netflix. But I just think it's perfect home for it. You know, like you said, they're doing the two animated series. They're just finishing up on the She-Ra series. It's like they obviously have a love for this property, and they'll probably do it justice. So let's hope we're not sat here in 2 years' time and it's come out and it's rubbish, or it doesn't come out. So
But
I think it's good news.
Agreed.
Definitely.
Agreed.
Right, shall we move on?
Let's go.
Right, so speaking of Masters of the Universe Revelation, we have a cast list. So last episode, we knew about Kevin Conroy, but we didn't know who was playing, and we speculated maybe He-Man, maybe Skeletor, but he's actually playing neither. But the man who is playing Skeletor, which is probably for me the biggest casting of the lot, is Mark Hamill, who is most famously known for playing the Joker on probably the animated series and, of course, Luke Skywalker. So, do you want me to run down the cast list and then...
Yeah.
So, Lena Headey is voicing Evil-Lyn. Chris Wood is playing Prince Adam / He-Man. And Chris Wood is from Supergirl, so we know him from there.
Yes.
Sarah Michelle Gellar is Teela. Liam Cunningham as Man-at-Arms. Stephen Root as Cringer. Or should I say me as Cringer? Sorry.
Yeah. Hey, see? They even have a Steve. Look at that. I'm sorry, Steve, but this is your nickname. Every introduction, I'm going to call you Cringer as a middle name.
Kevin Conroy as Merman, which after watching the episodes today that we're going to talk about is absolutely hilarious.
Yeah.
Another Batman, Diedrich Bader, as King Randor / Trapjaw. Griffin Newman as Orko, Tiffany Smith as Andra, Henry Rollins as Triclops, Alan Oppenheimer as Mossman, and Alan Oppenheimer was Cringer, Man-at-Arms, and Skeletor, and Merman, sorry, on the original He-Man.
Well, he did it practically every voice.
Yeah. Susan Eisenberg, Wonder Woman herself as the Sorceress. Batgirl, Alicia Silverstone as Queen Marlena.
Oh, Christ.
Justin Long. Yeah. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, I'm not saying, oh boy, you know, because I don't like Alicia Silverstone. It's just her and Batgirl in the same sentence brings back terrible memories.
Justin Long as Roboto. Jason Mewes, Kevin Smith's pal, as Stinkor, which is hilarious in itself. Yeah. Green Lantern himself, Phil Lamar, as Hero. I don't know who the hell Hero is.
neither
Tony Todd, Candyman, as Scareglow. That's a good name. Yeah. Cree Summer as Priestess. Kevin Michael Richardson as Beastman. Kevin Michael Richardson is like a famous voice
actor. Two Jokers in
yeah.
this thing.
Yeah. So you've got two Jokers and two Batmans. And Kevin Smith's daughter, Harley Quinn Smith, as I think it's Lena or Eileena. I don't know if that's an I or an L. I can't read it.
Yeah.
So we'll
all
find out.
All I know is the Birds of Prey won't be joining her. I had to make that comment.
And the Fantabulous Emancipation of Harley Quinn. Yeah,
she won't be. Well, maybe she will be Fantabulous Emancipator. I don't know. We'll see.
So that is a hell of a cast list.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of talented voice actors and live action actors in there. So I think it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, for me, look, I just got to say they had me at Mark Hamill.
Yeah.
Forget about the Luke Skywalker stuff. The Joker, to me, he's the Joker. Luke Skywalker, for me, again, for me, and I know a lot of people are going to say, oh, blasphemy. Luke Skywalker is second in terms of his filmography for me.
It might be third for me after Trickster as well.
Right, good point. Yeah. But the Joker, like you're talking about, he's now playing two, you know, of the quintessential villains of my childhood.
Yeah.
Like, it's something, like, if you had asked me who's going to play Skeletor, I would have never even thought to bring that up. But here we are, and I love it.
It was kind of funny, because, you know, when they read that new Chucky movie, people were, like, blaspheming the making a new Child's Play and all this stuff. And then when they found out Mark Hamill was voicing, they were like, oh, that could be quite good, actually. So... he has got a big big pull, hasn't he?
Yeah, and look, if his voice is good, like if we hear this thing and his voice sounds great, what's to stop them from using his voice in the live action movie? I mean,
he's why am I going to say this to you? Do you not think this cast could work in live action? Like Lena Headey, that's her from Game of Thrones, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the. It's perfect live action casting too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean.
I think Chris Wood could pull off He-Man as well.
Well, I don't know about that, but it's possible. but hey, look, this is poor Noah Centineo put on 30 pounds of weight. Might as well let him play the character.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm not saying get rid of it. I'm just saying the cast here though. If this was the cast for the live action movie. You'd still be thinking it looks pretty good, wouldn't you?
Oh, for sure. but yeah, so if his voice is good, I wouldn't hesitate to use him in the live action movie as well. even if he's not the man under the cloak and in this gold face.
Pretty much from Langella.
Yeah, exactly. I'm used to Chris Wood, as they say from Supergirl, and you know later on in his season, once he became legitimately Mon-El, I thought he did a great job of playing the heroic character. So I think that works. I'm intrigued by Kevin Conroy as Merman because, like you said, watching the show, watching the original show and trying to put Kevin Conroy's voice in there, it's odd to me. Now, granted, I don't expect Merman to sound like Batman, so he'll probably change up his voice a bit, I'm glad to have him there. Sarah Michelle Gellar as Teela, right?
Yeah.
Could you get any more of a warrior than Buffy herself?
True.
And in high school, I had a major crush on Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Oh, so did I. Yeah.
You could suggest that it's still there, and you wouldn't be wrong. Damn you, Freddie Prinze Jr. No.
He's like the nicest guy in the world, though, so you kind of feel like...
Yeah, exactly. You married
a sweetheart, didn't you?
You can't hate him. Yeah, exactly.
No.
Diedrich Bader is, of course...
He's brilliant, isn't he?
He's great. And also, are we surprised that Kevin Smith is using two Batman?
No. And two Jokers.
if he could have found a way to put it in Adam West, well, no, it can't be. But if he could have found a way, he probably would have. Maybe as King Randor, if he was still around.
Yeah.
You just go down the list, and it's really a great voice cast, and his daughter being there is cool. I mean, it's nepotism, but who cares?
She's done all right, she was in Supergirl once for an episode and stuff. She's not.
Yeah.
She clearly can act, can't she? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, I'm 100% on board for just about everybody in this cast. It's an all-star cast of voice talent. It really is.
Yeah. And you mentioned about Chris Wood and Supergirl and stuff, but. Remember how much of when he first joined, how he was kind of like a bit naive to everything, and he was doing a lot of dodgy things. We were talking about the Prince Adam in the comic and how he was a bit of a delinquent. He could probably pull that off because we know he can do it. So
yeah,
there's that kind of he's kind of got that range, hasn't he, to be delinquent and to be the stoic hero and all that. So.
Yeah.
And Phil Lamar again, he's just popping around everything, isn't he?
Yeah, and he could do anything, really. He's so versatile that I could buy him as anybody in terms of voices and
Tony Todd's got a hell of a voice. He was Darkseid, wasn't he, in Reign of the Superman, and he sounded brilliant in that. So
wasn't he also Zoom?
Yes, he was, yeah. Zoom? He's got a hell of a voice, hasn't he? Yeah. He's one of my favourite genre actors, actually. He just everything he's in, he just brings it up a level.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think this is a hell of a cast.
it's great. I mean, the only thing that I need to know now, Stephen, is when is this being released?
I've no idea. They haven't said that for.
No. But I need to know because I have to reactivate my Netflix subscription. So, come on, Netflix. Get on. Don't you want the money?
They're not doing a free trial anymore, either, are they?
Don't be like the DC Universe. Don't you want my money? Because I'm waiting to give it to you. You just got to give me the date, and I'll fork it over.
It is bizarre, isn't it, that they haven't... Well, maybe they're not sure yet, because maybe they're not quite out of the schedule.
I think they're waiting until they have the episodes,
Do you think it's going to be this year, or do you think it's going to be next year?
Just my gut feeling. I think they're going to launch it to coincide with PowerCon in August. You know, the He-Man.
Oh, yeah, that would make sense.
Convention. That's when I... That's when I think it's going to happen.
Awesome. What's this space?
And that's probably... It's probably, let's be honest, if they want to create some synergy, they'll probably announce the start of filming for the live-action movie around that time, too.
I won't be surprised.
Because he said Noah Centineo. What did that have? We got to look that up.
I mean, Centineo sounds right.
Yeah. No, because you know why I want to make sure? Because you know how there's that idiot Snyderholic on Twitter with a similar name? I don't want to.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
Louis.
Yeah, but the last name is similar, so I don't want to give that on. Yeah. But yeah, he said that that it starts filming in summer, but no definitive start date. So wouldn't be surprised if the start of PowerCon they bring out some people and maybe announce the cast there and say, hey, we're starting.
Yeah, definitely.
There's an that idea. Sony/Netflix/ The Knee Brothers, go ahead. You can use that for free.
Cool.
Yeah. Any other news? Any other comments on the news?
I agree with you on the cast and stuff, and we've talked about the movie. I think that's all the news.
Yeah.
Because the CGI show's not. They've not announced anything yet, have they?
Yeah. My guess is that they'll probably.
I think that'll be next year.
Yeah, I think they'll do the one season of Revelations first. So they'll basically alternate. So then they'll do one season Revelations, one season, and then they'll if Revelations gets more than one season, they'll alternate. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you have a constant stream of He-Man stuff, but it's not happening at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I think.
So we'll definitely keep you updated once we find out the release date of Revelations, and also once we hear any news on the CGI animated series.
Yeah. Right then, shall we dive into the episodes?
Let's go classic, yeah?
Yeah, so we are reviewing the first two episodes. Well, I say the first two episodes. The first two episodes released of the He-Man and the Masters of the Universe animated series, which was the 1983, yeah, sorry. I should have known that, because when we did that comic, that comic was 1982, I think, wasn't it? And then the cartoon was 83.
So technically, He-Man's a year older than I am, if we go by the comic.
But not if we go by the series.
If we go by the series, we're the same age.
So the first episode was Diamond Ray of Disappearance, and it was written by Robbie London, directed by Lou Zukor. That's how I'm pronouncing his surname. That's what it sounded like to me. And I'll just go through the voice cast of this episode. So we have John Irwin as He-Man, Prince Adam, and Beastman. I would never have guessed that was the same person.
Oh, definitely not.
Alan Oppenheimer as Cringer, Man-at-Arms, Skeletor, and Merman. Linda Garry as Teela, Evelyn, Queen Marlena, and the Sorceress. So she did every female in there.
They're like, we're only hiring one, make it a good one.
Lou Scheimer as Orko, King Randor, Trapjaw, Triclops. That's it, yeah? Oh, it says there's Eric Gundon. I don't know what that means. If that was his stage name or something.
Could be.
So the plot of the episode is Skeletor wreaks havoc at the Royal Palace with the Diamond of Disappearance, which is a hilarious name, which transports all who look at it into a timeless dimension. Beastman, Merman, Trapjaw, Triclops, Evil Lyn, and Panthor appear. He-Man tells viewers to watch out for those people who promise a quick way to riches and to not sell yourself short. And I also have a little bit of trivia for this episode. The pilot episode was actually the fourth script approved, but the first episode produced and intended to air first. So there you go. Bit of trivia to start us off.
Interesting.
Yeah. But it's a bit like when we did Batman the Animated Series, isn't it? And then you've got production order and release order.
Right, right.
It's all a bit... it's always like with animated shows, isn't it?
Right, usually, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what struck me right away is that the episode itself isn't a traditional origin tale. I mean, He-Man is already known. He's already active.
Mm.
The battle against Skeletor has already been, you know, going on for who knows how long at this point. The only real quote-unquote origin aspects in the episode is really that roll call that Skeletor does when he's recruiting his his team. So you have, you know, he sends out what I call those, you know, the message, and it looks like that the artistic, you know, representation of it looks like, I'm calling it the Skeletor signal, but it looks like the, you know, it looks like
Skeletor.
It looks like the thing of the bad signal, right? When it's in the right.
So, yeah. But it's so funny because when he's like Beastman, and then he tells you what Beastman does.
Yeah. It's basically like he's reading off the box of the toy, right?
Yeah. It's a roll call, isn't it?
Yeah. But that's really the only origin aspect to this show. I mean, let me rephrase. They give you He-Man and Cringer's origin. They give you the basic origins in the intro.
Yeah.
Every week. So if you forget it. But what I mean is, in terms of actual story, the origin is not in the episode. Which is
rare. No. Oh, yeah.
Which to me was very rare.
You get the feeling as well, like Skeletor's, because Skeletor calls up his army, you get the feeling like they've kind of like abandoned him a bit, haven't they? Been like, oh, we're sick of getting his butts kicked by He-Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he brings them all back and he's like, now I can defeat him because I've got the Diamond Ray of Disappearance.
At which point, if I was one of the villains, I would have said, all right, prove it first, then we'll join you.
Yeah, but then the public would have done it to them who said it, so.
Yeah, good point.
What made me laugh is he's got this box in his hand and he's like, he mocks Beastman for not knowing what it is. I'm like, well, how is he supposed to know? You've got literally holding onto a box.
What's in this box? I mean, the guy can barely form a sentence. How's he supposed to know
what's... that's true, yeah.
That laugh is classic, right?
But do you know what I did love in that scene, though? The music, I thought the music was really good. It was quite eerie. I thought it felt like it was from something more mature than a kid's cartoon.
Yeah.
In the Skeletor scene. So, and obviously, I've got a bit. I've always loved like the purple skies and stuff.
Yeah.
In the art and that. So yeah, but when he's doing the roll call and he's calling them all up, he literally is just like, Triclops, who can? I need your. What does he say? Like your ability to see around things or something. Yeah.
You know what? Now that you mentioned Triclops, you know what I noticed?
Go on.
It's the He-Man design just with the thing on his head.
That's not surprising.
Like, literally, they're wearing the same boots, they have the same body type, they have the same, you know, fur skinned loincloth, and I'm like,
yeah.
As I'm watching the episode, look, folks. Yeah, I watched the show as a kid. This is the first time it dawned on me. But I'm sitting there, and I'm watching, and, you know, Triclops is on the screen, and I'm like, wait a minute. He's got He-Man's outfit. Like, it's He-Man, literally. It's like they got the toy. If we're talking about toys. It's like they, you know how what are those? The hot toys, the really expensive ones?
Oh, yeah.
You know how they come with the interchangeable head?
Yeah, like that.
That's basically what the designers of the animation, they're like, all right, just change the head.
Well, don't forget, in the toys, all the bodies were the same of all the male characters. It was same body, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Apart from Arco.
having said that they're the same, look, I got to give credit to this animation. It's, you know, for the 80s, like, this stuff is better than some of the stuff we see today.
Yeah, there's more detail for that. You know, one of the things I think the problem now is the animators are a bit lazy these days. Like we talked about, didn't we, like the S on the back of the cape of Superman. Well, they did it in that 1980 Superman cartoon fine, yet 5 years after that they couldn't. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But,
The detail is incredible. Like, his muscles, like his physique, you could see it. Like, to me, all the stuff nowadays looks like that anime manga stuff. And look, that stuff's not for me, for the most part. Like, and it's not even the good quality. Like, some of the animation, like, here's an example. And again, I haven't watched the show. I don't know about the quality. But the look of that She-Ra cartoon.
Yeah.
Like, my nephews can draw better than that.
See, the thing is that you bring up the anime thing as well, but anime in the 80s looked better than it does now as well. That looked that was really detailed and stuff. Now they do those, like, what my brother calls go faster stripes. Yeah. When they, like, attack something, it just has these stripes in background, and it's just lazy, isn't it? I mean,
like, here's an example of anime. At least I think it's anime. The Castlevania series, right?
Yeah.
That looks good.
Which I think, didn't they say that's what the He-Man cartoon's going to
look
like?
Right, so it should look good. Yeah. But just, like, have you seen those animated shorts of the Thundercats that they've done now?
No.
It looks like crap.
Ugh.
It's terrible.
It's like, I was watching this, and you know Skeletor's throne? There was so much colour and, like, shadow on the boat because it was all bones. Yeah. I really, like, went to an effort to make it look like actual bones, and I was quite impressed with that. And like you said, the animation for its time. I mean, I think one of the problems with the animation now, when you look back at it, it probably doesn't move as fluid as animation did like years later. But just in terms of just visual stills, it's quite stunning, isn't it?
Yeah.
A lot of it.
Even the locales. Like, if you look at Castle Grayskull.
Oh yeah, it looks stunning. Yeah.
You can see that it's got age to it. That it's got a little bit,
yeah.
There's an eeriness to it. It's been war torn. It's like you could see all that in the animation, and I think that's lost in a lot of today's animation.
Oh yeah, absolutely, yeah. I mean, there was a lot of cartoons in the 80s, like there was Jason the Wild Warriors, Mask, you know, Visionaries, and they all kind of had the same. They don't look the same, but they all had the same kind of, like, effort put into them.
Yeah.
With a lot, like you say, with a lot of detail and shadows and colours and stuff. I mean, that's one of the things I've noticed about, like, that She-Ra series. It's not really very colourful. It's kind of almost, like, all one colour, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, even to the clothes they wear, they all kind of similar coloured clothes and stuff, whereas this, you've got, like, characters in diff with massive. I mean, Skeletor's blue. Do you know what I mean? Or purple, or whatever he is.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, the detail was really struck me as like, wow.
Yeah.
And I think it's an indictment on today's animation.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
When we go over to the hero side of things. You know, you get a sense of, you know, they give you the basics. You know, Prince Adam, he's got the whole clumsy Clark Kent.
Yeah, he's with a buffoon, isn't he? Yeah.
Going on, and
his dad's pretty much like, thinks he's a waste of space.
Oh, yeah, he's like just,
Can't he be more of a prince or something? He says, don't he, at one point?
That was the second episode where, yeah.
Oh, was that the second one? Sorry.
Yeah, we'll get to that. But,
yeah.
And I like when he sees there's an issue and the Skeletor's gonna, or when he hears of Skeletor's attack on Castle Grayskull with the ray, he's like, come on, Granger, and Granger's like, oh, he's gonna do what I think he's gonna do.
Yeah.
and then you get the whole thing. But you know what was funny? Like, that villain is you know, or that, sorry, that the what is it? The disappearing ray.
Hang on, I've got it in front of me. Wait a second, let's just scroll up. It's called The Diamond Ray of Disappearance.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's an on-the-nose name.
It does what it says on the tin.
but it's pretty... but it's a pretty effective weaponry. And I think it reminded me a lot of... Also, it's basically like a diamond version of the Phantom Zone projector.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Right? Just,
yeah, I never even thought about that, yeah.
And also, I don't know if you noticed, but continuing from the comic that we read last
yeah.
month?
Episode, yeah. Yeah, it was a month ago, yeah.
The it seems to me that Skeletor and his crew have a fetish with opening that door of Castle. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, actually, yeah. Because they ought to try it again in this, don't they?
Yeah, I'm like, Crystal, what is it?
One of the things that got me was He-Man could open the door. There's only a mirror in there. I don't know why they're so dying to get into that.
Yeah, I'm like, what's in there? In the bath, like, who in the bathtub? Who's in there? And it's like, I love Skeletor's like logic. He's like, wow. You know, Tila's disappeared. Man at Arms has disappeared. There's nobody defending the castle now. And he opens the door, and boom, He-Man's right there.
Yeah, good job. It's taking a wizard time or something. Yeah. I'm just on the toilet. Just give me a minute.
Yeah, exactly. But the fighting when the big fight happens, you see that's where we got the gif of the He-Man punch.
I noticed that they reused the same animatic, didn't they? For
yeah. I'm like, there's the gift.
I'll tell you something. Like, just going back to Prince Adam and He-Man. Prince Adam just sounds like He-Man with a cold, doesn't he? Really? I just think about it. Like, he's got a bit of a blocked nose.
Yeah.
He's like a bit tossing me like after me.
Yeah, but you know what? But you know what I found kind of unique is that animation-wise, yeah, they pretty much look the same. But Prince Adam looks a little younger, more youthful in the face. He looks a little more youthful.
Yeah, not much though.
It's not a lot, but it's a slight difference that I really keyed in on in episode 2.
I'm sticking with my headcanon that the magic makes him not recognize him. That's what I'm sticking with.
Well, I mean, they don't give us anything else, so we'll go with it, yeah.
Trapjaw, is it? Trapjaw?
Yeah.
That villain? I always thought he was called Lockjaw, so I've gone my entire life thinking he was called Lockjaw until I watched this episode today. How weird is that?
That's, yeah.
I used to have a toy of him as well.
And you're walking around. It's Trapjaw, and the box is Lockjaw.
Well, no, he's Trapjaw, and I was calling him Lockjaw.
Oh, yeah.
I probably had a dodgy version, didn't I? That was a knockoff.
Probably. That's probably why you came to that conclusion.
But he he just changes his like weapons on his arms, and I'm like, well, where's he actually put the other arm? You don't seem to put it anywhere. It just disappears.
Again, it's like the animators grabbed like the R&D from the toy, and they just said,
"Yeah,
it's an interchangeable piece. Let's roll with it." And you know what? That's not a knock on it because I'm like, "That's cool that he can just put like load weapons into his arm."
Yeah, no, it is. It's a cool concept. It's a cool concept. Yeah, it's just obviously, and he did it years before. Like them, I used to have a Terminator 2 action figure that did that, and I'm like, well. It was a He-Man figure that did it first.
Yeah.
I loved when Tila tried to stab him with a sword and he just ate the sword, basically.
Yeah.
And then He-Man just comes and completely kicks his rear end.
Yeah, you know what I noticed?
Go on.
Especially in the first... Well, in the second episode too, but... How useless... The army is. It's like, you know, they're getting their butts kicked, and then He-Man comes along, and it's done.
Yeah.
they're basically the animated equivalent of the 1966 Gotham City Police Department.
I was just about to say that. Oh, we had that one, the same thing.
Yeah. Oh, great minds, you know.
So it'd be on telephone to Batman, wouldn't it?
So it's like, wow, like how ineffective are you? Like Man in Arms and that. They give Teela some good moments, right? Where, you know, but on the whole, man, they're useless.
Oh, at the end when He-Man's kicking out bad guys' butts, they're just all stood there.
They're like, wow, that's impressive.
Yeah. Do you know, I never noticed as well. So you know when it changes and obviously it does the He-Man, but there was like a soulful like woman voice like doing the saying He-Man as well. And I can't really do what she did because I can't remember it's like it went, but
yeah.
It was just like, I was just like, oh my god, this sounds weird. I never noticed this before. I don't know if it's just in the early episodes or... You know what I'm about, don't you?
Oh, yeah, I totally get it. Yeah. You know what, before you even mentioned it, I didn't even notice it, but now it's now it's clicking in.
Because I always just thought it was the guy doing the He-Man. It was like a woman as well doing like the really soulful He-Man. You know, I almost wonder if they released a record or something. And
I think there is a soundtrack. When I bought the series,
I have
it somewhere. Like I bought the animated series, and it came in this box that was shaped in the shape of Castle Grayskull. It's a great box, but
nice.
But there is a CD. I gotta dig it out.
Oh, so you still got it?
Oh, yeah, I still have it.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, yeah. That's a dig that out. Maybe we could play one of the songs on the on an episode.
Yeah.
Did you notice it was kind of a bit like the old Incredible Hulk series and you just throw the bad guys?
Yeah, it's got that Incredible Hulk Smallville kind of vibe where he's just...
It's like, I'm just going to throw you now, because I know they weren't allowed to do certain things. Or like, I don't think there's a sword fight in the entire series, or if there is, it's like a two-second thing.
But yeah, so far all we've seen, I mean, we've seen him deflect with the sword.
Yeah, and he just throws bad guys either into water or into rocks where they hang by the underpants.
Well, now you know that we said he throws people around across, you know, surfaces and rooms and everything.
Yeah.
After you know this episode's released, there's gonna be a lot of people online campaigning for Tom Welling to play a He-Man because he was
he won't wear the suit.
well, there is no there.
It'll be the story of Prince Adam. It'll just be called Eternia.
And he's just gonna wear the white top with the pink vest on top.
Somebody save me.
Cringe is actually a cat. And not this is gonna be a domesticated house cat.
It's an origin story, Adam.
Right. And the comet can be like the cat. You know, the Crimson Comet?
Yeah.
From the second episode, the that could be like the meteor shower. Look,
it all comes back.
CW, why haven't you greenlit this thing yet? I don't understand.
And then what they can do is, years later, they can bring him back for a reboot or something and have him be like retired.
Yeah.
with Teela, and he's like, I gave up my sword, and like his son's got it or something.
And think about it, the sword could be, the castle could be the equivalent of the fortress.
Yeah.
Even, you know, Tom Welling's Prince Adam won't be able to get in. But we'll just see the sword and, you know, just like sitting there waiting for him. And everybody's trying to get in that castle in this show. It'd be,
and then last episode, they get like a guy's body and just CGI Tom Welling's head on.
Yeah, and we see this has gone off the rails.
So back to the episode. Have you got anything else to add?
No, I think we talked about it off air. When we were sitting down to watch this, I think we thought, how's this going to...
I thought it was going to be a chore to watch, I was convinced.
But it wasn't.
I tell you what, I forgot one more thing, sorry, before we finish on this one. I forgot about the end, you know, the end of the episodes they used to do there. You know, make sure you do your schoolwork and all that sort of thing. Yeah. And on this one, it was about watch out for people who promise, you know, who try to take shortcuts in life, basically. And I thought that was quite interesting because obviously that's what happens in the episode, isn't it? He tries to, Skeletor tries to take a shortcut by sending them all off to the thing so he can get into the castle. I tell you what, they should do an episode where he gets into the castle and he's just like, is this it? This, I've been my whole life for this, and then just have a depressed Skeletor.
Yeah.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
I can't exactly have the Affleck meme. Yeah, that's.
But yeah, oh, yeah. It's Skeletor.
It held up pretty well, though, I think, the first episode.
Yeah, I think it was. I mean, they're only 20 minutes. They're not long. They're quick episodes. It was. I think, like I said, the animation was a big joy. I was, like, stunned by how good the animation was. And the music, I thought the music was fantastic throughout.
Yeah.
Even the, you know, sulfur, like, He-Man, however she did it. I remember.
Yeah. So, what do you want to do? Do you want to rate this? How are we going to do this?
Like, yeah, I think we'll just go for a rating out of 5, I guess. Obviously, if we rate this out of 5, it's not the same as a rating out of a five for a Batman the Animated Series episode, is it? Which was obviously a better quality.
Well, you have to take it into the context of the era.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. We're not saying it's on the level of like The Godfather, you know, that kind of thing is over.
Yeah, right. We're not going to call it The Godfather animation, which they seem to do every time a Marvel movie. But The Godfather experiment. All right. With that in mind, what do you rate the first episode?
I'm going to go for a solid 4. I think it was. There wasn't anything wrong with it. Obviously, I would have, if it had been more up to date, Paul, it would have been better. But I think, like I said, I was so surprised how much I enjoyed it, and it wasn't. I thought I was going to be bored, and I wasn't. It was quite entertaining throughout, and even the things that were kind of ridiculous just made me laugh. I was like howling with laughter at some bits. So
yeah,
I'm going to go for a solid 4 out of 5.
I'm going to give it a 4.5. I really liked it. It just, you know, when it was over, I said to myself, I love this show. And I remember why I loved it as a kid. And for that, if it makes me feel like that, it's a 4.5 out of 5.
Yeah, cool. Right, shall we move on to episode 2 then?
Let's do it, yeah.
So this was Teela's Quest, written by Batman alum Paul Dini.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, do you know Bruce Timm and all that worked on the show, don't you?
I do now, yeah.
Yeah. Directed by Marsh Lamar, don't know who that is. And the plot is, while Teela is searching for her real mother, she is captured by Merman, and only He-Man and Battlecat can rescue her from becoming a sacrifice for a legendary sea monster. Teela tells viewers caring adopted parents deserve the same love as biological parents. So, voice cast for this one, John Irwin as He-Man, Prince Adam, and the Oracle of the Crystal Sea, which was obvious because he sounded exactly like He-Man. Alan Oppenheimer as Cringer, Battlecat, Skeletor, Man-at-Arms, and Merman. Linda Gray as Teela the Sorceress and Queen Marlena. So we're continuing with the one female voice. Yeah. And Lou Scheimer as Orko.
All right. So what were some of your thoughts?
I thought it was quite interesting how it started, and you had Prince Adam talking to his mother about Earth. I thought it was quite interesting because obviously, I don't know if I just didn't know it as a kid, but I didn't know that until I read that comic last month. So that was quite interesting to me to see her talk about it. I mean, it was only quite very brief, but I quite liked it.
Yeah,
and I think this is the one where Prince Adam's very much like Clark Kent. And that bit where Teela comes in and she puts that mind ray thing on him and he's just having a sleep in it while he's fishing. That hour in stitches.
Oh, yeah, that was
pretty. Oh, you lazy git. not only does he... whereas I think Clark Kent is a complete disguise, I think Prince Adam probably is a bit lazy.
Well, I guess so, because if you think about it, If your whole thing is all I got to do is raise a sword and say, you know, by the power of Grayskull, why the hell would you do anything?
You make a very good point, mate. You make a very good point.
If I had that sword, The sword would do this podcast. I mean, agree with you there. I really like that moment of it. When he's talking with his mother about Earth.
Yeah.
Like you said, it's not a big moment, but it's a moment where they're delving into a little bit of what you would assume is the origin mythology.
Yeah, and it establishes that aspect, doesn't it? Because if you hadn't read the cards in the toys and all that palaver, or the comics, I don't think you'd have known.
Right, and you can't assume that. And the good thing is, you can't really assume that every kid has read the mini comics or the card on the back of the toy, right? So, I think that's an important element that I'm glad, even though brief, they touched on it. What else kind of?
Yeah. What did you? I didn't know Teela was adopted by Man at Arms. Did you? I never knew that. I always thought he was just her dad, because I know he's in the film, which we know is not exactly comic and cartoon accurate. But
see, I can't. You're right. I remember from the film that he was the daughter, but I can't remember knowing or not knowing about the adoption aspect, and I'm not even sure what it is in the modern day comic in terms of, you know, the current DC sort of lore, because I know there's the discovery She-Ra,
because she's He-Man's sister,
right? So there was that revelation of that when she was finding out about her origins, she realized that she was the daughter. So there was that kind of like, hey, you're not here.
Yeah.
Your current, the current people you think are your family is your adopted. So, I don't know if in the comic that also applies to Teela, but you're right. I think this was maybe because I haven't watched in a long time. This was a reminder, because I had no idea. Like it was again, I knew that he was the father, but I. The fact that she was adopted was a revelation to me, which ties into the new show. But
yeah,
that it was surprising to me. But again, this is the first time I'm revisiting this series in a long time. So,
well, same here. I don't think I've watched it since I was a little kid. Like properly, anyway. I've seen bits and pieces.
I've watched the Christmas special every year, but.
Mm. See, I haven't even seen that since the 90s, so...
Well, it's part of my ritual, and it will be yours for this year's this episode of Christmas, because that's what we're doing. That's probably what we're going to do. We're just going to replay that episode every year. We're going to repost it every Christmas.
Well, do you know, we missed a bit of a trick, because there's actually a Valentine's thing in there, episode.
We should have done that first.
Yeah. Oh, well, we didn't know.
He-Man and Teela forever, from the first rays of the sword to the right.
So when Teela goes to the Crystal City, was it just me thinking Fortress of Solitude? Because I was like...
it always goes back to DC, and and I'm like, oh, okay, we've got the fortress. It's great.
But you know when she went to talk to the Orb, and the Orb was telling her the backstory of what happened to her, and, well, she don't find out she was in the nest until the end.
Yeah.
But I thought it was quite interesting that Man at Arms didn't have his mustache, because in the comic we read last month, he didn't have his mustache then. So it's almost like, I almost wonder, because you know you were saying in the last episode how He-Man's already had battles with Skeletor and stuff. I almost wonder if the comics were canon up until that point, and then the cartoon's supposed to follow on from where the comics left off.
Interesting point.
Even though there's obviously some differences in the way Prince Adam is portrayed and all that sort of stuff, but I guess you couldn't have had him going into a bar having beers in a kid's cartoon.
Oh, definitely not, yeah.
Especially back then.
Here's another thing, though, too, that's interesting. Did he not have his mustache in the first episode? He did.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
So is this a case of, like, the episode order getting...
Well, no, because he's got... Sorry, he's not got a mustache in the when the orb is flashing back. So it's like it was before he had a mustache. Because I was saying in the last... I probably didn't explain it very well. In the comic we read last month, he didn't have a mustache, and I mentioned, didn't I? I was like, oh, it was interesting how he didn't have a mustache, but they must have introduced that. Maybe they introduced it in the cartoon to make him look a bit more different to He-Man or something, I don't know, but...
Also, maybe it was cheaper for the animators to leave the mustache on.
Well, let's not talk about mustaches, let's not go there. But yeah. But I like that they did that because, again, we've been talking about lazy animation, haven't we? That to me is something that they've took a bit of a point and they've gone, right, because he's younger in this flashback, well, what of the moustache?
Yeah.
They haven't just thought, we'll just keep the same design.
Yeah,
good point. They would have had to redraw on the face, wouldn't they? So,
good point.
But as soon as she started talking to that orb, I'm like, that guy's voice is just He-Man's voice. It didn't sound any different to He-Man. That was
picking up. And there was no real effort to disguise it either. They're just they're probably like, who's really going to care?
True.
Back then, they thought, is anybody going to remember this in how many years is it? 37 years?
Yeah. Oh, my God. You're making me feel old now.
Well, how do you think I feel? I'm the same age. But you know what I think this episode kind of, you know, with the orb and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
It really hits home the balance that I think the series and the concept tries to keep, which is you've got this sword and sorcery kind of show.
Yeah.
But also a sci-fi show.
Yeah, absolutely.
With the technology and the vehicles that are flying and all this stuff.
Yeah.
But I think again, what I liked about this as a kid, and also you know revisiting it now, is that there is that balance of two genres, and I like both genres.
Mm. Yeah.
So it's not a shock that I gravitated towards this show back then, and why I'm still a fan of it today.
Yeah, something I really liked about this episode is I thought it had a lot of heart because of the story element. And I was a bit surprised they kind of went to that in this cartoon because obviously we talked, didn't we, how it was basically commercial to sell toys.
Yeah.
They're still bothered to like do the stories, and it doesn't surprise me that it's a Paul Dini episode, you know, because he was like one of the best writers running on Batman the Animated Series. And
and
even comics and stuff, yeah. Right.
And one of the things with Paul Dini is a lot of his stories are character driven and filled with heart, and that's what this episode is.
Yeah.
So
something that made me laugh when Merman he got his spear back and he put that orb in it and he summoned that sea monster thing. His smile was just absolutely hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
He looked so goofy.
And I love his voice and how he's constantly sounds like he's underwater.
Yeah, that was clever. I was thinking, do you think Kevin Conroy is going to try and do something similar? And
well, maybe they'll take a cue from Zack Snyder's scenes in Justice League where he had that, you know, Aquaman creates that bubble.
Oh, yeah.
Where they can talk. Maybe he'll do something like that because that would be. I mean, if you're not taking pointers from Zack Snyder, you're doing it wrong. So I think I think Kevin Smith should. What's that?
You said he's sarcastic. Yeah.
So definitely, I think Kevin Smith should take a look at that.
There's something else that made me laugh. You know when Teela got attacked by them like ape monstery things.
Yeah.
They had the most pathetic yell sounds. They were just like, oh, like, you won't be scared. They sounded like a bird. Oh, like, you won't be scared of all of these. You just laugh.
You know what it reminded me of? Remember that there was a time in wrestling when, I don't know, Brock Lesnar was fighting somebody and they were on the outside and he did this yell that was supposed to be threatening, but it sounded like somebody had his you-know-what in a vice. So that's what this kind of reminded me of. It kind of like, you know, It was, but you're right, it was laughable.
Yeah, that was funny. I was like, is this really the choice you went with? But maybe they didn't have anything else in the sound box.
Like, damn it, we tried it 12 different times. It's still the same. We got to run with it. We don't have the budget to record anymore.
So we really need to talk about who Teela's mother is, don't we? Because I think that's the big thing in the episode.
All right, spoilers. Go ahead, Steve. Tell us who.
So Teela's mother, it turns out, is the sorceress. And I had no idea that was a thing.
I'll be honest, I forgot about it. I love how this is all, and I'm going to use the word again, rewatching this, because it's been so long, has been a revelation.
Because, maybe that's why they call the new the new series revelation.
I'm noticing things that I totally in my mind when I'm like, wait a minute, when did that happen? And then I'm like, well, I guess in 1983, but yeah, it shocked me.
It was a good twist, and I liked as well that she didn't just forget and that was it. She made her forget, but she also made her know that her mother loved her and stuff. And it's almost like, because if she makes her forget, she should just go looking again, wouldn't she?
Right.
But the fact she makes her forget and then puts that, it's a bit like Inception, isn't it, where they put that, you know, that thing into your mind.
You gotta make it so that her mind is at ease, so that,
yeah,
look, I don't know who my mother is, but I know I have this sense that I was loved, right?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
At least, again, you may still at some point want to go looking for her, but it doesn't define your whole being. Because if you, and I'm trying to relate this to a real life situation, if you didn't know who your mother or father or both parents were,
yeah,
you have no concept of whether they cared for you or why they gave you away or why anything. So you're more inclined to go looking for them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But if you know that you were loved and appreciated and they wanted the best for you, you can at least go about your life without feeling, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a massive, you know, hole there. I mean, there's still a hole, but you get what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think it's like you said, it happens in, well, let's just take Superman and go back to Superman like we always do, but he didn't know who his parents were, and that he went looking for answers. So it makes sense that for a character that, like you said, that is adopted to want to find out who the real parents are and find out why. Now, the question I have is, who's the dad? But she didn't seem that fussed about her dad, did she?
I mean, I don't know.
Everyone at arms got freaky with the sorceress and he just didn't want to.
Or what if it's, it's not, but it's King Randor. Who knows what he's up to over there?
I'm just nipping out, honey.
Gotta go do some kingly things. I don't know what that is. But... oh, by the way, before we go on and give our rating, is it me or does the kingdom look like you know, the establishing shot look like Tatooine a little bit?
Of Eternia?
Yeah.
Yeah, I get what you mean, actually.
Like a more high-end, Tatooine, yeah.
Oh, that was funny at the end, wasn't it, when He-Man crashed through the wall in the whatever it is.
Very, very George Reeves-like crashes.
Yeah, and it was a bit like, oh, I didn't want it at the end. Like, and they all laugh.
Yeah.
Those cartoons laugh and they're like, ha, 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 ha.
Yeah, they
got
the over-exaggerated laugh, yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely brilliant, yeah. So yeah, anything else to add on this one?
I think we covered the most important parts, so if you want.
Well, this was the one where Cringer did his, I don't want to be Battle Cat this week, man, whatever he said.
Yeah, it's too funny.
Yeah.
I don't know why you would want to be when you consider how awesome.
Well, he's a wimp, isn't he? When he's Cringer, he's a wimp.
Right, when exactly. He's
maybe you don't like it, because maybe it's a bit like Killer Frost. Where Killer Frost is like the dominant personality who's like outgoing and fun, and then the other one's just a boring, cringy thing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not saying that Daniel Pannenberg, what's the character called when she's not Killer Frost?
Caitlin.
Caitlin, I'm not saying Caitlin's like that, but you get what I mean, don't you? Like, Killer Frost is more interesting to watch on screen than Caitlin.
For sure. Yeah.
Where in here, you've got, he obviously doesn't want to be, it's like he hasn't got the confidence to become Battle Cat, but then he kind of has to, because He-Man's like, if you don't, you're not getting fed. If you don't, I'll stick that sword in you. Well, he doesn't have a choice, does he? Because he just points the sword at him, doesn't he? And he turns anyway.
Yeah.
So, what are you rating this one, Adam?
You know what? I really dug this one. I dug the like you said, the fact that it was character-driven and it had a lot of heart.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give it a 4.
Oh, okay. And I'm going to go 3.5, so we're kind of on similar levels, aren't we?
Yeah.
I dug it. I think talking about it made me dig it even more as well, because I kind of started to realise some of the stuff, like I said, like it had a lot of heart and things. So.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No, cool. So far, we're 2 for 2. It's 2 good episodes.
Yeah, definitely. Neither of them were bad. They were both good episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Yeah. So that will bring this episode to a close. We hope you enjoyed it, and we hope you're going through the original series with us. So, Stephen, for next month, which ones should our listeners watch?
You put me on the spot now. That's right. Come, just vamp for a few minutes and come back to me.
while Steven's looking that up, I will say, we are going to go back and look at more of the current DC comics as well. That is a plan that we have. And once we're done, you know, the original series, while we're, you know, hopefully we have some news on when we'll be seeing the new series, but we'll also go through. You know, I should have talked with Steven about this, but we'll go through the 2002 series as well.
Yeah, I'd like to revisit the New Adventures as well, but I thought what we might want to do is instead of going episode by episode and just going and then going to the next one, maybe just like mix it around a bit and then do New Adventures, a couple of New Adventures episodes, and then a couple of new, you know what I mean, and flirt around.
Yeah, we could play around. We'll
quite
start.
Interesting
we'll
to do, wouldn't it? Yeah.
We'll start sequentially for now, but
yeah. So are we doing 2 again next time?
Yeah, let's do 2.
Yep. So they are episode 3, Colossal Awakes, and episode 4, The Dragon Invasion.
All right. Awesome.
Ooh, interesting. Yeah.
So follow along with us, and watch along with us. And what I think we'll do is, we'll do 2 more episodes and then we'll switch it up and maybe the following month do a comic book. So
I agree. Yeah.
We'll take a little bit of a switch there. But have those watched if you're following along to our reviews. But Stephen, between now and next episode, if our listeners want to talk to you about He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, where can they do that?
You can do that on Twitter at SteveBob1984.
Awesome. And if you want to talk to me about my namesake and his friends, you can do that at Adam_LeafsFan on Twitter. And on Facebook, it is the Multiverse Musings Podcast Network Facebook group. Go there, request admittance into the group. Either myself, Ryan, or Travis will add you. And we can continue talking about all things Eternia there. But that's it. We hope you enjoyed it. Until next time, remember that together we all have the power. So long and good journey.
Good journey.
Skeletor. It's over. Yeah. For you.
By the power of Grayskull.